She's the Ilan Mishra's Brian Ben. We left off last week with almost a dangling question. We were speaking about Gezeirah D'Rabbanan and Mashmash Shazavah, because the Gemara explains to us that if juice oozes out of a fruit by itself, so sometimes Chazal prohibited that juice because they were afraid that lest the person comes to squeeze it, squeezing is supposed to be a potential serious problem. So Chazal, under certain circumstances, asked it, even the DM, if it happened by itself, Mashmash Shazavah. So we pointed out that there's a Mordechai that speaks about what if a little bit of Mashmash Shazavah was mixed in with a lot of pre-existing juice. So most of the juice had already been oozed that way before Shabbos. Just a small amount oozes out on Shabbos, so should we say that little bit of juice is bottling out? So the Mordechai told us that basically it's bottled, and the later poskim added on the Mishaburu Klo, so basically it's bottled. It meets the regular criteria of bittul, namely if it's bottled Mashishim. If you have 60 times of the, in a sense, the kosher juice, the pre-Shabbos ticket juice, so then a little bit of Shabbos ticket juice is going to be bottled Mashishim. So we raised a red flag about lemons. A person slices a lemon, puts a slice of lemon to the tea, so a little bit of lemon juice oozes out. The problem is that little bit of lemon juice is not really built for Mashishi because it's Nosin Tam, because it was there for the purpose of taste, and it does give taste. So whenever something is Nosin the Vidal Taima, something is there for the purpose of taste, that's by definition not bottle. So we left a little bit of a tzorachim, many of the modern day farm right, that if you just slice your lemon, put it into your tea, so you don't have to worry about Mashmish is over. Why not? So we left a little bit of a tzorachim. So maybe there's something that we'll be able to add to almost give an attempted answer to that question, based on the next half of the sugya, that's again a continuation. Mashmash Shazavah, and kind of wrap up over the sugya in general, and maybe we'll be able to have some a little bit more information and go back to that original question we left hanging from last week. There is a sugya that appears at the end of the fourth paragraph of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara quotes a brayta that says, "Ein maraskin as a shelag to Shabbos. One is not permitted to crush snow and crush ice on Shabbos." The only problem is the Gemara never tells us why it's awesome. The brayta leaves us very, very vague. What exactly is wrong with crushing snow, crushing ice on Shabbos? So the Rashba on the spot says that this is part of our sugya. And according to the Rashba, this is the appropriate place to talk about this braisa, because it's part of the gezeira of schita. So again, even though this is not exactly schita, when you crush ice, you're not exactly squeezing the water out of the ice. It's not physically exactly what's happening, but it looks that way a little bit. So the same way Chazal were concerned that the Torah says you can't squeeze a grape, and the Chacham said you can't squeeze a lemon, or whatever other kind of fruit, and now the Chacham extended and said, you can't, quote unquote, squeeze ice, because you squeeze ice, you squeeze snow, you're exerting pressure on it, so you're causing it to turn into liquid, so that almost gives off the resemblance a little bit of Schitas Peiros. So that's what the Rashba sizes up the Sugya. So according to the Rashba, this is the appropriate place to learn the Sugya. According to the Rashba, we can understand the second half of the Braisa. Braisa says that although it's also Mechachilat and Merasik, it's a Sheleg, but notes in the Sechakos, but you are permitted to put a piece of ice, some snow, into a cup, and even though it's going to melt by itself, that's okay. Now, presumably, according to the Rashi, what that command means is that you're going to put it into an empty cup. You're just going to simply take an ice cube, put it into a cup, and at the time, it's going to melt. So that's fine, that's okay, because you're not being merasi, you're not doing the schita itself. It's mashkin shazavu, that's already so far, far removed. That's a gzeiru, up to 1,500 gzeirus already. This is not peiros altogether. It smacks a little bit, resembles a little bit of peiros. Alhamdulillah, so the Chazal didn't ask for it so far. So basically, according to the Rashba, if you do a maisa risuf, that's a problem. If the ice melts by itself, that's not a problem at all. The only problem with learning the sugya right now is that according to most of the Rishonim, this doesn't even belong in the sugya. It has nothing to do with Mashkin Shazavu. We had to stick it in because we have no other place to talk about it. So, but most of the Rishonim learned that this has nothing at all to do with Mashkin Shazavu. So what does it have to do with? So Rashi explains it has to do with an entirely different issue that's not even a malacha of your eyes. There were 39 malachas on Shabbos, and then there's a 40th, not a malacha. It's called the Molid of a Chadash. Anytime you bring something new into existence on Shabbos, that's considered to be a problem. Why is that a problem? Because it's Nira Kabayri. It looks like you're creating. It's a far cry from Bria Shalayim Hart. The Baal Shalom is the only one who can create things Yeshmaayim, literally, you know, ex nihilo, something from nothing. But when we quote unquote create things, we're not really creating things, we're just changing. What's the principle? Who knows a little chemistry? Is chemistry conservation of what?
Matter,
mass, energy, right? I mean basically we don't really create anything, we just keep on turning things around in the world. But only Russia will create things Yeshmiyah. But Abba Pichay, according to the way the world appears to us, it looks like we're creating things. So if it gives off that look, that resemblance of creating things, that's a problem in Shabbos mit the Rabbanon. The Borei Dav HaChadosh. Therefore, Chazal prohibited a molded Dav HaChadosh. Therefore, Rashi says, I created water. Yeah, created water. We know that's a joke. We know that and scientifically that's not true. An ice cube and water is the exact same thing. H2O is the same stuff. This one's frozen, one's liquid. No. But the fear of Osman Adam, the way it appears that there used to not be water here, I created a cup of water. So my changing a form of something from a solid to a liquid, that's called the molid of a chadash. And that's the reason why the Brisa says it's problematic. Why didn't the Rashba say that? Why did the Rashba feel searching for a gezeir of mashkin shezavu? So not that the Rashba denied the principle of molid. Molid exists in other cases in Shas. Apparently the Rashba must have held this is not called molid. The Rashba took chemistry, first day chemistry, it's the same thing. Solid is liquid, it's the same H2O, it's the same water. So that's not even called molid of a chadash. There are other examples of molid of a chadash, but it just happens not to be one of them. So this is a whole new ism in the Rabbanim called Molid of a Chadash, which has many, many, many different ramifications to it, way beyond this particular sugya. One of the important ramifications of Molid of a Chadash is a sugya that appears in Maseches Beitzah in the fourth parak, where the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to be Motzias HaEsh Min HaEitzel and Rabbanim on Yontif. You're not allowed to rub two sticks together, rub two stones together, or strike a match on Yontif to create a new fire. Why not? If you're allowed to light fires in your home, if I'm part of Mutul Tzarech, so why aren't you allowed to say, I want to read, I want to light, I want to cook, I want to use a fire, why aren't I allowed to strike a match? So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to. Why? What does the Mishnah mean to tell, sir? Because you're molded of a chadash. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. It's a different pshat in the Mishnah, but most of the Mishnah learned that's a molded of a chadash. So the Pasha says, that's only me the Rabbanim. Minotaur, you're allowed to. Minotaur, you're allowed to start new fires on the Yontif. But the Rabbanim, that's a problem because you're starting something new. Let's say when a person turns on the ovens, as man as all the ovens in the stoves, all igniters. So when you start a new fire today, so according to most opinions, that would only be an issue with the Rabbanim. Just as an aside, please don't quote me, misquote me in this one. But driving a car on Yom Tov is probably also only mid the Rabbanim, because the malachas that's usually associated with driving a car is Havara. Havara and Shabbos is a Nisidirais, obviously, and Yom Tov would only be a Nisidirabbanim. So Tzorach Hayom, I want to go, I want to drop the shul. So it's Tzorach Hayom. So mid the Rais, that would probably be okay. But mid the Rabbanim, that's awesome, because that's a Molid of a Chadash. But Bavadi Yosef discusses in the Tshuva, what if you leave the car running from before Yom Tov? So you leave the car running from, you turn it on, so you start the age when you have the home, and now you're just pumping more gas. So he has a whole discussion. Is that the equivalent of adding more oil into the fuel, into the fire? So let's say if I have a fire, I started the fire from before Yom Tov, I want to throw more logs inside, I want to put more oil into the candle. So that's mutlech hachila Yom Tov, it's a tzarech hayom. So he wants to know, why shouldn't driving your car be the same thing as long as you start it? You leave the car running for 24 hours, or 48 hours, the chutz starts. So why shouldn't it be okay? So the answer is it's not okay. And the reason why it's not okay, the reason why it's usher, is because the way driving is, when you press the gas on the driving, that is not adding oil to the flame. You are starting every single time you put in the gas, that starts more sparks, and more spark plugs, and more spark plugs. If a Rivian has a cheshbet, 10,000 spark plugs, 10,000 machas deraisa to drive around the block. So the bottom line is, it's also driving nothing. No shadow, no suffering whatsoever. But probably the source of the Isser is that notion of being a Moed of the Chodesh. Anyway, getting back to the story. So everyone agrees there's an Isser Moed of the Chodesh, we're just not sure whether the water and the ice is an example of that. According to Rashi, that molid of a chadash is also, so why is it mutter to put the ice cube into the cup and let it melt by itself? The answer is, well, it's obvious, you're not being molid. I'm not doing it. The yisr is a nisa pa'ul, it's a nisa maisa. I'm not going to actively create something new on Shabbos, but if it happens by itself, so it happened by itself, I didn't create it. That's fine. So, bein lefi Rashi, bein lefi Rashba, whether the yisr is a nisa of schittis peiris, the yisr is a nisa of molid of a chadash, I understand the distinction between doing it actively and having it happen by itself. But there's a third opinion we show him, the Sefer HaTrumah, the Baruch, the Baruch Sefer HaTrumah, who has an entirely different shot in this sugya. He says the reason why you're not allowed to crush the ice on Shabbos is not so much the act of crushing the ice, but because the result of what you're doing is going to create what's called an halacha nolad. Nolad means something new. Not that I'm creating something new, but something new just came into existence, so that's a problem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's an issue of nolad. That's the first sugya in the Sefer Beitzah. About a Beit Hashanah of the Yom Tov, so you have all the different parameters, a very, very complicated sugya about what the parameters of Noah are or not. And Rabbi Baruch is assuming that's what the Brisa is talking about. And the Brisa says, you're not allowed to crush the ice. It's also not because what you're doing is a malacha, not because what you're doing is a gezeirah, but the result of that crushed ice is going to be something new. And if you use that water, that's obviously why you're doing it. You want to drink the water. So drinking that water would be a problem of an insert of no life. Now the problem becomes, according to Rabbi Baruch, so why is it mutter if it happens by itself? Why is it mutter if I put the ice cube into an empty cup and it melts? According to the Rashba, the Issa was the Issa Pa'ul of an action of Gezerah to Schittes Peres. So then I understand why, if I'm not doing an action, it's Mutter. According to Rashi, it's an action of Molid. I got it. Why it happens by itself, it's Mutter. But according to Rabbi Nebarach, that the Issa is the result. So why in the world should it be Mutter? At the end of the day, the result is the same. At the end of the day, I have a cup full of water that didn't exist an hour ago. That's Nola. That should be a problem of Mukta. So Rabbi Nebarach addresses this question. And one of the answers that he gives is that when the Gemara says you're allowed to put it into a cup, it doesn't mean into an empty cup. It means into a cup full of water, into a cup full of another liquid, another beverage. So why is that mutter? But it's still Nola. So Rabbi Nebarach explains, no, because since the Nola never really existed, it comes into existence in the state of something else. So it's not that I put an ice cube into an empty cup and I filled, now I have a cup full of water and I want to take that water and put it into something else. That's a problem. Because once it was chalot and ashamed of anola, that becomes problematic. Then you can't move it on your empty. You can't move it in chalice. But if the water never existed, the water just went from the ice directly and became bottled directly into the other liquid. So that was never toface, it was never chalot and ashamed of anola in the first place. It was never chalot and ashamed of anola, then it does become us in the first place.
The melted, like, let's say the kid wants to put ice cube into a hot chicken.
Okay, yeah, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. What would the din be according to the Shem? That's exactly what we're going to lead on to. So, Akoponim, this is a whole new yourself now, we're going to talk about that. When something never really existed, it just becomes almost like Bola on the Tarobas, to quote a phrase from the Mordechai from last week. So that's going to be okay. So the simple reading in the Rabbeinu Baruch is, this has nothing to do with Bittul. This has nothing to do with Bittul Bashishim, and nothing to do with Bittul Tam and Tam Levin. This is zero. It's a whole new Yisoid that Isurim Derabbanan that were instituted on results are only Toface, only Chal, when the result is Nikola Ayin Bifnei Atzmo. If it's Boli Olam Et Arogus, the B'chei Agav, the Chazal never asked it. So maybe that's the answer to what's going on with the lemon and the tea. Maybe the reason why the Mordechai permits when the grape juice oozed out of the grapes in last week's year, the guy has a barrel full of wine and puts new grapes inside on Friday afternoon, and other grapes are slowly but surely oozing out into the pre-existing wine. So the Mishnah Berurah and the people got and thought, the reason why it's mutter is because it's bottle b'shishim. So we had a kash, it's bottle b'shishim, but if it's lemon juice, it's not going to have bottle because it's a bit of the time. So maybe this is nothing to do with the other day, and maybe this is a klal more related to Chashabbos. This is a din prati no Chashabbos. That these kinds of Isurim, whether you want to call them Isurim, no, Isurim, Mashkin, Shazavu, these kinds of things that are Chazal Asa because they now came into existence in whatever shape or form that they shouldn't have come into existence, but they were never Nikolai, they were never recognizable as, on their own, they were immediately, subsumed, really, immediately swallowed up by a larger item, so maybe that never became Muslim in the first place. Maybe that's the reason why it's Mutter. That's the reason why it's Mutter then. You can't ask any kashas about this, about Tom and any of that stuff. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't sound that way. The Targum doesn't sound that way. Because those poskim do quote the notion of Bittul B'shishim. But maybe you go down a different route. Maybe other Chachamim disagree with that. So it's a suggestion that some have given. Maybe that's what this idea is based on. Maybe this heter of the lemon and tea is based on a different picture. Not so much going down the route of the Mishnah Berurah. But getting back now to this story, because once we've already introduced the Sugya Vei Meraskin, so we have to discuss it a little bit more. According to the Rashba, this is literally part of our Sugya. According to the other Rishonim, we have no other malacha to pit it on, so we have no other time to talk about it, so we've got to talk about it now. So what exactly are the parameters of this? How does this play out for us, Levaisa? So the Rishonim already begin to point out, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah already begin to point out, that you have some very important afkaminas ladina between the Rishonim in terms of what exactly is the nature of the Yisra Vei Meraskin. So it would be important for us to be Machriya to figure out what the final halacha is going to be. Do we follow Rashi? Do we follow Rabbeinu Baruch? So the Shulchan Aruch is making on the Shas. The Shulchan Aruch quotes Rashi's version of the story. But the Ramah is Machriya, at least the Chachira, like Rabbeinu Baruch. So Ashkenazim try to follow this Ramah. We try, if we're able to follow this Rabbeinu Baruch, the Chashish Rabbeinu Baruch. And therefore, we're going to take whatever consequences, whatever ramifications emanate from Rabbeinu Baruch's pshat are going to become relevant for us. So what are some of the ramifications? What are some of the issues? So already the Shulchan Aruch, what's the following shayla? What would the din be if a person takes, with the Eyud's question, a person takes something that's a salad and puts it in a very, very warm place and now it begins to melt on its own? Not because I'm chopping at it, but it's simply melting on its own because I put it in a place that's warm. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses pashtida. Pashtida was some kind of very healthy food that the Rishonim apparently all ate. It was very, very fatty. That's the only thing I can tell you about it. It was some kind of a dough which was full with some kind of a lot of schmaltz and a lot of good fat, congealed fat. So it was common to put that. You would put it in. It would freeze up. So you'd leave it outside in the wintertime. It would freeze up, and then it would you want to warm it up. So you put them next to the oven. So the whole discussion, the Rishon, you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. So there's a twofold shayla. There's a potential, a threefold shayla. There's a potential bishul shayla. There's a potential reheating food kind of shayla. And then there's a imraskas hashalik shayla. So for now, we're only going to talk about the third part. So is that a problem of imraskas hashalik? So Rashi, the Rashba say, what does that have to do with imraskas hashalik? You're not doing anything. That's called derech goroma. The same way that the Gemara says, if you just put the ice cube into the cup and melts by itself, that's not a problem. It's only an issur pa'ul, it's not an issur b'datin by itself. So that's presumably not called acting. You're not doing it. I just put it in a hot place now, and an hour later, the fat is melted, so that would be okay. It's perfectly permissible to eat that fat, that liquidy fat kind of stuff, that gravy. But comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, and comes the Ramon and says, according to Rabbeinu Baruch, that would be a problem. So again, the Shulchan Aruch wasn't so worried about the Rabbeinu Baruch, but the Ramon was conservative Rabbeinu Baruch, at least the Chachila, and therefore the Ramon writes that one should be careful about this. One should not put the Peshtida near the fire, because if it's going to melt, now you're going to have a potential problem of Nolot slash Mokta. So again, so we try to follow that view. According to that, the Chor, the same would be true for the ice cubes, the original case of the ice cubes. Let's say a person takes an ice cube and puts an ice cube stomach into an empty cup. So according to Rabbeinu Baruch, that could be a problem. Because even though I'm not doing nothing, I just put it into a cup. But Lamatz, at the end of the day, I now have water. So that would pose a problem. So how can a person possibly use ice on Shabbos? Let's say the ice was made, leaving out the making of the ice on Shabbos. That's the next part of this problem. But let's say the ice was made already from before Shabbos. So now I want to take an ice cube and put it into, use it on Shabbos. So what do I do? So again, in the case of the Gemara, if I put it directly into the drink, that's okay. I have a cup of water, a cup of juice. I want to take an ice cube and put it into the water. That's perfectly all right, because once the ice starts to seep out, the water starts to seep out, it becomes bulk, it becomes part of the cup of water. So that's mutl chatchila. But very often people don't do that. Very often people come, they bring a whole bowl out of ice and leave the bowl of ice on the table. So after a few minutes, the ice starts to melt. So that water that's in the bottom of the bowl is now mukta. So you can't use that water according to the psak of the Ramah. So do we have any eitzah for that? So those who want to be choshesh for the Ramah, what they should do is as follows, that they should put a little bit of water into the bottom of the bowl before the ice starts to melt. So you take 10 ice cubes and throw it into a bowl of free, you don't have to flood it in water, because remember, it doesn't even have to melt Pashish in the Pashas. It's just, as long as it's bowl all the time, as long as the ice begins to melt into pre-existing water, so you take a little bit of water, put it in the bottom of the bowl, the ice starts to melt in, so I think that would be more to l'chatchila, even according to the Mechmim, even according to the Rambam. So let's, all we're talking about ice a little bit, we're talking about the melting of the ice.
Is that only if you want the water itself? So if I have 15 cubes, nobody at the table or wherever it might be, nobody really wants. Well, they want the water when they have the cube, but nobody would take the water.
So you want to say that we're not so worried? We're just going to take the ice cube out of whatever the water in the bottle is. No,
right.
We're going to leave it there, right? But then you have a problem of no water and muktzah. You know, you move clear off the table. You know, you don't want to have muktzah sitting on there. It's not a klishim machlis. It's muktzah mamish according to the Rabbeinu Baruch. So it's a better idea to avoid this by putting the wood in the mouth.
Making ice on Shabbos.
Oh, that's the next part. That's the second half of the Shabbos. So forget about the melting of the ice. Forget about the making the ice in the first place. Can I go ahead and take water and put it into the old slot? You guys probably have no idea how to make ice. So there used to be this little, I'm talking like I realize who I'm talking to. So there used to be these little plastic things that had 12 little things.
Metal, thank you.
Metal, I'm sorry, the old days. Okay. You fill it up with the water and you stick it into the freezer, and after an hour you have ice cubes. Okay? So you allowed to do that on Shabbos. What's the deal? So let's go through the cheshbonos, let's go through the different shittas. So according to those who say that, according to the Rashi, who said that the isser involved in the chopping the ice was a problem of schitas peiros. It looks like schitas peiros. The Rashi wasn't bechlal concerned with molid, because he held that water and ice is the same chetz, the same entity. So nobody in the right mind would ever say that you can't make ice on Shabbos to go into the Rashi. What kind of schitas peiros is that? That's like the equivalent of putting fruit back into the juice back into the fruit. If you could figure out a way to put the orange juice back into the orange, so then that would be more to a Shabbos. So you're allowed to freeze ice. What's the problem with freezing water to get to ice? What could be the problem? According to the Rashi, it should be okay. What about according to Rashi? Should that be a right or should that not be a right? So that gets a little bit tricky. So according to Rashi, you're being molded of a chodesh. Really? Is that called a molid of a chodesh? Remember we said according to Rashi, the yisr is really only as the pula, it's as the maisa of crushing. According to Rashi, if you take an ice, you put it into a cup, and it melts by itself, so you can drink the water, it's not a problem. So one could argue that when I put the water into the freezer, that's like melting of the pashtida, which the Shulchan Aruch said was mutter according to Rashi, because it's happening basically by itself. I mean, I put it into a place, and it's ultimately happening by itself. When I put the water into the freezer, that should be okay, according to Rashi. But according to Rabbeinu Baruch, now we have potential. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, who viewed water and ice as different chefs, as different items, different entities, now the problem is, Now I want to use that ice. I put water in an hour ago, and now I want to use that ice. Wait a second, that ice is something new. That's like a beit shnol de biyantif. Maybe that ice is mukta. That ice is nolan on Shabbos. Maybe that should be problematic. So even though the pe'ula wasn't really done, but according to Rabbeinu Baruch, the emphasis wasn't really on the pe'ula altogether. So that's a shaila. Is that true or not? Should that necessarily carry over? So there are some poskim who have a distinction. I don't really understand the distinction. I want to argue that when you go from ice to water, that's a problem. No, not vice versa. Because water is more of a davar chashuv. Water is the better state. Water is something that's more usable. So when you could say that you created water. I took ice that didn't really exist. It wasn't really an entity that was significant. And I turned it into something chashuv. It was into a cup of water. That's a molad. And that's a nola. Whereas the other way around doesn't work. Again, there are some posts who say I don't really understand.
It's not always going to be true. Let's say you take ice cream out of the fridge. And it starts to melt a little bit until you serve it. When you put it back in, you want it to...
You want to be wrapped ice again. Yeah. So again, I don't know. I'm not sure I understand that. So the feeling is that it would appear that the making of ice and Shabbos is a potential problem. I don't want to say it's also outright, because according to the Shulchan Aruch Mutter, according to many Rishonim Mutter, and the Rambam also says that b'diavad, somebody made it, the Rambam is also not so nervous after the fact. But lechatchila, I think would probably be more correct not to make ice. Although I concede a gedolei poskim of the matter, Moshe was matter it, but there are other poskim who didn't like it. Other poskim who said that it was a problem based on this.
Is there a difference between Shabbos and Yom
Tov? Not really, because the dinim with Nola are, if anything, they're a little bit more chomer and Yom Tov. Strangely enough, Nola happens to be one of those quirks that made it more chomer and Yom Tov for some technical reasons in Gemara Beis. I don't know the difference.
Like the freezers
nowadays, they come out. Exactly by itself. Oh, very good, excellent. So now the problem is, nobody's making ice today. Everyone, the freezer's making it by itself. But the problem is, was that ice made before Shabbos or not? So if you know for a fact that it was made from before Shabbos, sure, it's okay. But if you don't, let's say it was made on Shabbos, so even though you didn't do anything, it was made totally by itself. But again, according to Rabbeinu Baruch, the problem is not what you're doing. The problem is that it was done. The problem is that it came into existence and it's something new. So according to Rabbeinu Baruch, even an automatic freezer, I think, would potentially be a problem. So this was a...
Let's say you know there's enough ice cubes there from before Shabbos, yeah. But you take them out Shabbos afternoon, and then more ice will be made. So you're not going to use that ice, but is that a problem?
I mean, it's a grom of symptomshin, secretional nichalei, and there are abundant that may be mutterot. I'm not as worried about that. Unless you want to tell you that the system, there's a whole other issue about the ice, taking ice out of the freezer, I don't even want to talk about now. That's another issue with that caused more ice to be made. Even if that's a whole other question. Leaving out that piece of information for now, just the fact that the ice itself is being made constantly on Shabbos, and you want to use the ice that's made on Shabbos, that's a question. So somebody remember the famous Moshe Kol. The famous Moshe Kol story. So one of my many jobs as the Moshe Kol counselor, or many, I think it was a total, I think it was 7 summers I was there to be a counselor. I was a couple of weeks ago when I spoke in Boca, so Rabbi Goldberg introduced me among my the rest of my resume. So he highlighted the fact that I had been his counselor in Rosh Hakolo, and I was responsible for waking him up. When I got up to speak, so I started off by saying that I'd rather Lechavad Rabbi Goldberg not tell you about some of those stories about the wake-ups. I had this chus to wake up some very, very prominent Rabbanim, who have now become prominent Rabbanim. I think Rabbi Eitan Fader, I think, was one of my chevr also. There's a nice long list of people who were zoichet, I would say, either get up or not get up from my wake-ups in the morning. We'll leave it at that. Anyway, I don't know about ice, but there was definitely a lot of water that was sometimes used. But anyway, so one of my jobs in Kola was to make sure that there was an automatic ice machine in the kitchen there. And, Rabbi wasn't so thrilled about it, using the ice. He's a shy that he can use the ice. So we really wanted to unplug the machine. So unplug the things. It's not going to make any more ice. Whatever ice is there, it was there from before Shabbos. Wonderful. The only problem was in those years in Kol, those early Kol history, there were other members of the camp who were eating with us on Friday night. And they weren't as excited about this chumra about their being Cheshire Rebbe Baruch. They were more than happy to follow Rashi and the Rashba at the ice. So we had to come up with some kind of a compromise to make everybody happy. So we came up with the garbage bag theory. We took one of my jobs Friday afternoon was I would go take all the ice that had ready, the kosher ice, all the ice, the chachilotic ice, and put it into a big black garbage bag and put it right back into the freezer. I wanted it to melt. So it would stay cold. But we all knew that was the Mahadran ice. So we had 2 standards of ice. We had the Mahadran ice and we had the regular ice. So those who wanted to use the Mahadran ice could be chashish for a bit of
Now the ice gets on the stuff, it comes out in Shabbos.
Right, so now the problem is you have taronis, right? So now you have, potential davshesh matirnish. So that becomes tricky. You gotta get your garbage bags inside there, or else it's gotta be make them. Okay. Anyway, there is another shaila that comes up. The postman, by the way, just mentioned about the ice cream. So the postman were pretty make about the ice cream. That's probably not so much a no love, because Falkin say that ice and water are two really, really different things. Ice cream, melted ice cream is ice cream. Taste of ice cream, it's the same. I don't know. That's what some Falkin say. So we're not so choshish. If someone takes out the ice cream and still sing his mirror, she gets
the way out. The concern's on the way in. It's more choshish to turn it back into ice cream.
Right. Some of Maple that, I think the Falkin generally make that the ice cream is supposed to be the same thing. I have a Masorah from Rabbi Govich, that's how she came out now, that. Once eating at his house, and they were serving ice cream, and he told everyone to start eating, not to wait till everybody else gets served. So he said, he has a Masorah that there are two things. I don't know where the Masorah was from. Most of the things he tells from the Chaznish of the Biskarab. I don't know if this particular thing was from him. Probably not. He said he has a Masorah that the two things you're not mechuyif to be mechaber and other people to wait for, ice cream and soup. He said for different reasons. Okay, anyway. So there is another case, an important case, that we have outside right now. An issue in terms of melting ice, not ice that you want to drink the water, but ice that you want to melt the ice, because you don't want anyone to trip and fall, Khalil, on the ice. So what's the deal? You're allowed to put salt on the ice on Shabbos in order to melt the ice. Is that considered to be part of the sugya of a Naraskin? So, l'chaora, one could argue that the putting of the salt on wouldn't be called a maisa in the sense that it doesn't really happen right away. It's probably not all that different. Then the person puts the water into the freezer to make the ice, which according to Rashi, the Rashi is probably okay. It's probably not that different from the pashtida, but I think the pashtida, put it by the fire, it takes a little while till it changes form, so that, of course, the Shulchan Aruch, Rashi, the Rashi, that would be okay. So it will be, when I put the salt onto the ice, it doesn't melt in a second, it takes a few minutes till it begins to melt. So one could argue that's the Echorama, that happens really by itself, and that wouldn't pose a problem. The problem is, what about according to Avin Baruch? So according to Avin Baruch, even when it happens by itself is a problem, should this pose a problem or not? So the answer is no. Because even if it's muktzah, but I'm not going to use it, it's better than Amr Shubka's case. It means, I'm leaving the water on the floor. So the melted water is muktzah. It's also, that's no. Who cares? That's no. So I have a 4-4 no. What's the difference? So one could argue that even according to Avin Baruch, that should be okay. The post can make it for other reasons also. Even if someone wants to make a case that maybe it's a problem according to Avin Baruch, it's probably mutter for a totally different reason. The Gemara says in the third book of Shabbos, that when you have a situation of a hezek harabim, when you're afraid that a few people may get hurt on something, someone is permitted to violate Isurim the Rabbanon to prevent the hezek harabim. The Gemara says that, let's say there's a coach for Shasarabim, has a big thorn or something, right smack in the middle of the street, and we're afraid that people aren't going to see it, they're going to fall, someone's going to get scratched, they're going to get hurt. The Gemara says that as long as you can figure out a way to transport that on the level that's only the Rabbanon, that would be okay. So the total muktzah, so the coats is probably muktzah, so that doesn't bother me. Muktzah is the Rabbanon, that would be okay to prevent that as a karabin. What about carrying out Amos Mishas Rabbim? So it depends. If it's a carnivalist, it's only a Mishas Rabbim the Rabbanon, then you can just carry it normally, get it out of the way and finish. What if it's a Mishas Rabbim the Rabbanon? He says, the Gemara says, then you have to carry it, pachas without Amos. So you have to carry it a little bit less than Dalal Amos at a time, that would be okay. And then the Gemara says, you have to stop and start. And then the Gemara says, what if your malach shetzich legufa is potter? So we spoke about this in the past. If you do a malach, but I don't want to use the item, I just want to get rid of it. So that's always a malach shetzich legufa. I'm trying to get rid of the coats, which is a rabbin. So the Gemara says, that will also be a dirabon. So the Gemara gives you multiple ways to turn carrying into a dirabon. Either which is rabbin's dirabon, or it's a pachsbach dal amas, or it's a bishinu malach shetzich legufa. But the common denominator between all these cases is that if l'maisa to the rabbanon, then it's tach a mutter to prevent hezek haram. You have a few other examples of this that a mutter as well. So here also the Balskim write that if you have an icy in front of your house, people are going to walk by, so the chalul is going to fall. So even aniyach, this is an issa, even though we're not even sure this is also in the first place, put the salt down. But even worst case scenario, that some kind of issa involved in putting the salt down, so it's only going to be a rabbanon, the ice, it's for sure not. So of course, there's a derabbanim, the nisa derabbanim, the mokhim, hezek harabim, is mutlach hachila. So the bottom line is that whether you can make ice on Shabbos or not, whether you can crush ice on Shabbos or not, whether you can melt your pashtit, there's no anything, this one case is mutter, either based on the regular sugya, the regular rules of the Rishon of the sugya, or even if there's some kind of a concern, is it worse the derabbanim and mokhim, hezek harabim, is going to be okay. So we pretty much finished Malach of Schita, as well as almost the sideshows of things that came up there out of Schita. Hopefully, it was from next week we'll begin the next one.
What about like a piece of meat that has fat, like,
So that's according to the above. That's potential.
Are you allowed to pour a drink on top of that? Because then you actually.